I have no answer also, but maybe just the thought that Adam had the responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's something there also.
I don't have... the facts are in Genesis 3:6. She took of its fruit and ate. So she definitely ate it first. That's clear. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. But I honestly don't have... I can't really give an answer to that. Maybe Steve has a thought.
I would just add on to what we're suggesting, that it seems to be in chapter 3, verse 7, that it's kind of a summary statement that they both ate and their eyes were both opened. And in terms of the weaker vessel, the weaker partner, in 1 Peter 3, we talked about the deceptive attack of Satan, I think it was yesterday, in relation, or maybe it was the day before, in relation to the way in which Eve fell, and Adam, it doesn't say that he was deceived. And that may be the sense of weaker. Some have said, if one is weaker, then it must mean that the other is weak. Man is weak, and woman maybe is weaker. Doesn't necessarily mean weaker and stronger. But the thought being that there is a sense in which maybe, even just in our makeup as men and women, there is perhaps the existence of this, the emotional component, which is stronger, which might lead one to be more susceptible as a woman to certain errors or certain mistakes or certain sins. It says that, I think it's also in 1 Timothy, maybe it's elsewhere, where it talks about those who are widows who are younger, the special temptations for younger widows to actually turn away from the faith. It's just sort of it's not a slant or an attack on the character of women. There are many very godly women. In fact, the emotional component that is more pronounced in a woman is also what often makes a woman very much more devoted to the Lord. You see women coming first to the tomb, for example. There's a real enhancement of their devotion to the Lord when it is a redeemed quality for the Lord. But I would like to just suggest this part to add in to what we're talking about here, to bring us to that again, that when their eyes were opened, regardless of whether it was Adam or Eve, they knew good and evil. And we talked about this a little yesterday, that knowing good and evil did not preserve the race of mankind. There was a godly line that was preserved from Adam and onward. Cain's line became very corrupt. But even in Adam's line, there was one family, as we've said, Noah's family. It wasn't that there was half and half, that 50% were ungodly and 50% were godly. It became so corrupt, this spreading influence of sin. Having our eyes opened does not preserve us from being susceptible to choosing evil and following that course.
Good.
You mentioned this in verse 5 here of chapter 6.
Very quick to those questions. Just to add to on the weaker vessel thing, I heard it said that it never says that man is a strong vessel. Another thing to keep in mind there. And as far as the eyes of them both being open, we talked yesterday about the God's plan being the woman to be deceived first, however you want to see it. Was a picture of the role of woman, all that kind of stuff. Now, they both had their eyes open, we could say, at the same time. That's what it says. But the eyes of both of them were opened. Maybe it wasn't the same time, maybe it wasn't. But let's take the liberty to say it was at the same time. And that's because in a couple, the consequence of the sin falls on both of them. Because they are one. So, yes, one may be deceived, one may do this, but both of them are affected. And they both realized that they had brought sin and they had allowed sin into the world, and that sin would now be passed into their descendants also, which was a comment I wanted to make yesterday as far as covering the nakedness. I think that has something to do with them realizing that their children would also have this sin problem with them.
Can I make a comment on the word weaker? I fear here in this discussion that we would not honor the woman. I would like to honor the woman in this, because the word weaker, let me give you an example of what that would mean. If I were to make a bowl out of wood, I could make it look like a coconut that was half husked, just a big block, an ugly thing, a very clumsy piece of, or if you're into pottery, a very ugly looking bowl. But the word weaker means something fine and delicate.
Hmm.
Something like a porcelain dish or a teacup. That's something. That's to honor, because it is linked with the word honor. So it is not the word weaker here, but the word delicate.
Hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Is that? I think we're going to have to move on at this point. Those are good thoughts. Okay. So if you go back in Genesis 6, we read that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, talking about delicate and so on. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Okay. My question for us here is, who were these sons of God? Who were these folks?
I think perhaps two main trains of thought. There's probably many that split off from that. One of them is that the sons of God were the descendants of Seth, and that the daughters of men were descendants of Cain. So that's one of the ideas, that the scripture here was using that language to represent that. The other thing is that the sons of God, because that terminology we use other places in scripture refers to angelic beings. So the other idea is that these were fallen angelic beings that either bred with these women or possessed the woman, whatever, just led to this promiscuous sort of behavior. And because of the demonic influence, you had this giant feature and so on. And that's what you see here in terms of the giants in verse 4. Because something certainly led to this abnormal growth, which kind of leads me towards the latter, which is there's some sort of supernatural force going on here. And I think that also Satan is, you know, we talked a couple of times yesterday, Satan is trying very hard to cut off, because he already knows that he will have his head crushed. You know, we've said that. So he's trying to cut off the line of man so that this Redeemer won't come who will do that. And so what he does is he introduces into the human realm this awfulness and attempts to just corrupt the whole population of the earth. So they, because it says that they bear children and so on. So all of this activity would just spread this disease, whatever you want to call it, through the whole population, and there'd be no possibility, there'd be no good left, and the Redeemer could not possibly come out of that. And so that also adds to why God had the flood. And I think one of the reasons why the Seth and Cain thing is a little, well, just when I was looking at some of the scripture, Seth, his descendants were gone in the flood. So most of them, there was only people who came out of the flood were the people on. So it's a little interesting to see that these are descendants of Seth.
Okay, those are quite frankly, there are two different viewpoints, and you just mentioned them both, Kevin, that those are the viewpoints that people have had over the years. I'll make a comment before we move. Maybe others might want to say something. But if you look at the first one, it's very clear, this for us today, and we should all know this, that it is really, Scripture makes it very clear, it's inappropriate for us, if you are a believer, to even contemplate having a relationship of marriage with an unbeliever. That's one thing we can take from that very clearly. Okay? So I think we need to make that point. Another point as an aside, you know, give me an opportunity here. Back in verse 2, we talk about them choosing wives whom they chose. Another thing that we want to say is that at this stage, many of us have been past this, but let's let the Lord choose for us rather than us choosing for ourselves. Now, that's an aside thought, as I would say, but maybe anybody has any other thoughts with regard to these two views, or could we move on?